Judges chapter 6, verse 34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali. And they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece in a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Look, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night. For it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Father, we love you. We thank you for the word of God. Thank you for helping us, teaching us. Thank you for your mercy, Lord, and just being so long-suffering with us, Lord. And we praise you for that. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for coming here, taking on the form of a man to pay our sin debt, Lord, and to offer us the forgiveness that we could never attain on our own, Lord. It has to be through you. We thank you for that. I thank you for giving us the church, Lord, that you loved it and died for it, shed your blood for it. Thank you, God, that we get to be a part of your work and that you've opened our eyes to this truth and we've realized it. And Lord, I just pray you continue to guide and lead us. And God, help us to learn from Gideon and his example in prayer. God, we need that. We need this. And I do pray that you would help us to really emulate many of the characteristics of Gideon and to learn from him. Please, Lord, teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we've been looking at prayer and the fact that Gideon comes to God. It says, And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. As thou hast said. He talks to God. He prays to God. He goes to him just like it's any other thing. And Gideon said unto God, it's just like, there it is. It's normal. It wasn't anything outside of the ordinary. And he brings God to remembrance of something. If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And that's exactly what God had told him. If we go over to the earlier part of chapter 6, verse 14, the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? So God told him, I'm going to use you to save Israel from the Midianites. That's what's going to happen. And this is what Gideon's bringing to remembrance. He's calling God on his word. He's saying, God, you said this. This is what your word says. See, you know what Gideon did? It's amazing. He did an amazing thing there, and I like what Gideon did. He just received what God said. He didn't look at all the impossibilities. He didn't look at everything he didn't understand. He didn't look at this and say, look at that army's way bigger than ours. God, we've hardly got anybody here. There's only 30,000 or so. God, there ain't no way we can do this. I don't believe it. It's not going to happen, God. But this is what I see, and this is how I see it going down. Gideon didn't do that. He says, as thou hast said. He just received what God said.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's pretty good right there, isn't it? And he called God on it. God, this is what you said. If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. See, we can approach God's throne boldly when we hold God to his word.
Amen.
That's when we can go boldly to the throne of God, is when we hold him to his word. And that's what Gideon's doing. He goes boldly and he asks for some things. Now, he asks in humility, and we'll get to that. But he asks boldly, he asks for some things. I mean, pretty much the same thing, just in reverse twice, to reaffirm what God had already showed him. I mean, and he's seen some miracles. I mean, he saw God take up the offering that he put down, just poof, like that thing's gone. I mean, he's seen some miracles. He's seen God do things that nobody else got to see. I mean, he really witnessed that. God came and spoke to him, and then he took up that offering like that. I mean, he's seen God do some things. He saw God ask him. He said, hey, now go tear down this altar of Baal. Or God commanded him, rather. What did he do? He obeyed God. He went and did it. He was afraid, but he went and did it. He's seen God do some things. And then now he calls this. It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He blows a trumpet to call everyone to him. Let's gather an army. Let's get it on, is what he's saying. Let's do this. Let's do what God has asked us to do. This is Gideon. This is where he's at. And he's able to see these things that God has done. He has this relationship with God. He's talking with God. He says, Gideon said unto God, But then he doesn't lose sight of what God has said in the past. And he says, if thou wilt save Israel, buy mine hat as thou hast said. And that's what we can do. We can go boldly to God's throne and we look and say, God, this is what your word said. Where are you at? Where are you at in this situation? This is what you said, God. You promised this. And we can go boldly to God's throne as well when we're willing to call God on his word. But let's stop right there and let's back up and say, wait a minute, how was Gideon able to call God boldly on his word? Because, you know, everyone that has just any weak, flimsy profession of faith wants to be able to claim that. Well, I can go boldly to God's throne and call him on his word. Wait, who is the person that was calling God on his word, though? Let's back up and look at the man and look at what he did. He wasn't someone that was disobedient to what God said.
Amen.
He wasn't someone that was stiff-necked and wouldn't obey the word of God. That wasn't Gideon. He was humble and he was repentant. Well, how do you know all that? Because he destroyed his idolatry. He destroyed the idolatry that was in his life. See, Gideon wasn't a hearer of the word only. He didn't just show up on Sundays and hear what was being said and say, oh, that's good. Yeah, I like that. And then leave and do nothing. God says, I got something hard for you to do, Gideon. Are you ready for it? I got something hard for you to do. Are you ready? Why don't you go back to your daddy's home and you tear down that altar of that false god Baal. Destroy it. See, Gideon could go boldly to the throne of God because he was a doer of the word of God. That's why he could go boldly to the throne. That's why he had God's ear. Now, I'm not saying we don't go to God when we're wrong and in sin. Then we, yes, obviously we do. See, this is what it means when we take the Bible as a whole. And I feel like there's many times I have to preface things. And I've got to, like, explain every objection that somebody's going to have away. Because let's just understand that the Bible also teaches that. Go to 1 John chapter 1, you know, and it's there. And I don't go there now, but you can see it there. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this is how we keep fellowship with God. We walk in the light. Okay, part of walking in the light is confessing our sins. So obviously, that's implied. I'm not saying that you can't go boldly to God if you're not perfect. I didn't say that, but that's what people will take it to mean. Pastor, this is what you're saying. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying in this circumstance, we're looking at the life of Gideon. We're not explaining away all the... I'm not trying to do away with everything else the Bible says in regard to prayer. That's not what I'm trying to do. But I am saying also that Gideon already did that stuff. Amen. He already did confess his sins so that God's faithful and just to forgive him his sins and cleanse him from all unrighteousness. That's the person. The person that does that. The person that's the doer of the word of God and not a hearer only. Okay, the person that doesn't just talk the talk but also walks the walk, that person gets to go boldly to the throne of God. That person has the ability to go boldly to the throne of God and ask for some things that other people don't or won't. Or God will just say, no. He's like, go destroy the idolatry in your life first. Let's get back to that. And then you come to me. You don't want to follow me. You want me to be a genie in a bottle for you to give you whatever you want when you want. You don't want to follow me. You don't want to walk in the light of my word. Nobody else is getting their prayers answered here.
Amen.
I didn't see it. Even those that came to follow him afterwards, not a one of them was doing it. It took one that was willing to do it. One, and then others would follow. But before Gideon, there wasn't anybody else doing it. There wasn't any other doers of the word of God.
Amen.
They all heard that prophet that showed up and preached the message nobody liked. How dare he tell us we're idolaters? Who does he think he is? Gideon heard it. Gideon received it. See, he received the word of God. Man, look at that. Look at that. And he was open to it. See, he was a doer of the word of God. That's why he could go boldly to the throne of grace. Because he wasn't a pretender.
Amen.
He wasn't a pretender. He was the real thing. He was the real deal. He did what God asked him to do. And because of that, he was able to go boldly to the throne of grace. How many pretenders do we have in here, I wonder? I wonder. Some of you young people, you pretenders. Some of you adults, you pretenders. Are you the real thing? Are you a doer of the word of God? I wonder. In your heart, you know. Nobody else might know, but you know. You a doer of the word of God? By the way, that can be seen. Other people can see that, if you're a doer of the Word of God or not, or if you're just a talker. It can be seen.
Amen.
Jesus told us, by your fruit you shall know them. Right. Jesus said that. I mean, that's God's Word says that. You're going to know them by their fruit. Not by the words that come out of their mouth, not by their lips, but by their fruit, by the actions. See, fruit doesn't come right away. It doesn't. Fruit takes a while. You plant a fruit tree, you're honestly not getting any fruit for like 5 years. But it eventually comes. I mean, you plant like a fruit tree, and many times the first even fruit that does grow on it is all tart, and you don't want it anyway. But there's some fruit from it. You can see it. It will eventually produce. See, talk is like immediately, man. Boom, hey. You know, I'm Holy Joe walking around. I got my Bible. I mean, just here I am. I'm holy. I'm church. Got my suit on and everything. I'm looking good. Okay, let's see in 6 months. It can be seen. You can talk the talk all you want. Are there any pretenders in here? See, that's what God did in answering their prayer as the children of Israel cried out to God, God, help us, help, help. He said, okay, I'm going to send you a preacher. Here he comes. Get ready. And because Gideon took heed to that, he didn't have a stiff neck, he didn't harden his neck to the preaching of the Word of God. He received the Word of God. Because of that, he was able to go boldly to the throne of grace. He could go boldly to God. That's what he was able to do. See, our obedience helps us. It doesn't hurt us. Our obedience helps us. You know, if my kids are disobedient to me and then they come up to me asking me for something, the odds they're going to get it is like zero. Like, why would I bless you with something when you don't even obey me? It's like, you don't love them. No, I do love them. Why would I reward their bad behavior? That's the question we should ask. Why would I reward bad behavior? They're not even honoring me. Why am I going to give them something they want? But if they honor me and obey me and they ask for something, I am much more likely to give it to them. If I'm able to, I will. I mean, as a father, if I'm able to, I want to give my kids stuff.
Amen.
But that's when they're honoring me, when they're obedient to me. I'm like, yeah, they've been good. See, when they're not, I'm like, I'm taking that away. That what they did have, I'm taking. Like, no, they don't deserve that. They're going to lose that. But when we obey God, then we can go boldly to Him. That's what we're able to do. So as we go boldly to the throne of grace, it's to be done with a humble spirit. We have to remember we're approaching our Creator, the one that created us. Go to James chapter 4, verse 8, if you would, please. James chapter 4 and verse 8. So we'll even pick up in verse 6. But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. He shall lift you up. When we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, it says that God will lift us up. So we are to approach God in a humble manner. It says there that He gives more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And we're told we can go boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can go boldly there when we go in humility. He giveth more, or He giveth grace unto the humble, but He resists the proud. See, God is not obliged to answer you.
Amen.
Especially when we come with pride. Gideon did not have that. He'd done away with that. He didn't go to God and still holding on to his idolatry. He had rejected that. He had admitted he was wrong, and he obeyed God, and he received what God's Word said, and he followed with that. He went forward with that. And because he was humble, God says, I don't resist the humble, I resist the proud. I'm going to give more grace to you. I'm going to extend this to you. My enablement, I'm going to enable you to do some things. He giveth grace unto the humble. And then look what it goes on to say. See, without humility, you cannot submit yourself to God. Look at it, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. What? But God giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. A proud person is not going to submit to somebody else. Who are they to tell me what to do? They're the stiff-necked. They're the ones that aren't going to listen. They're the ones that pull back. But a humble person will submit. They will submit to the biblical authority that's there. Amen. Gideon submitted to the preacher that showed up, the preaching that he had preached. He submitted to that. And in doing that, obviously, he's submitting to God because God sent the preacher. So he's submitting to God. And this is what we see happening here. He was humble and he submits yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. I love this promise. And he will draw nigh to you. What a great promise that is. God says, I haven't gone anywhere. I'm still here. You walked away from me. Come back. And God says, and I'll take a step to you. Draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. What a promise. I love that. I've claimed that a bunch of times right there. When I get away from God, I've come back to this verse right here. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. I say, God, I'm coming back. Forgive me. I'm sorry. God, help me. And I come right back to God. I say, God, I need you. Please. But draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. But again, a proud person won't do that. A proud person, see, to draw nigh to God, he's holy. Be ye holy because I am holy. See, a proud person won't admit they're wrong and they won't confess their sin to God. Yeah. Therefore, they're not going to draw nigh to God. Why would they draw nigh to God when they're in rebellion to him? When they're fighting what he says. When they're fighting what the word of God says, they're not going to do it. So draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. There's that confession. Okay, I'm giving this to God. I'm cleansing my hands. I'm purifying my heart. Lord, making me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me, as David cried out. Okay, that's what he wanted. That's what he needed. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Stop thinking two ways. Right here, follow this. That's what he's saying. You're double-minded. Stop doing that. Stop. Look, it talks about at the beginning of the verse, the chapter right there. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Hey, there's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. What he's saying, stop being double-minded. Stop going with this one and then with this one. He says, stop that and start following the spirit. If we follow the spirit, guess what we're following? We're following the word of God. We're receiving the word of God. That's what it means to follow the spirit. And that's what God wants for us. Cleanse your hands, ye double-minded. Stop thinking two ways. James also talks about a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Amen. He doesn't know where he's going. He's back and forth. He's all over the place. This is why we're to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what we're to be. This is what God wants for us. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Look at that. Why would you weep? What's the context here? Your sin. Your sin. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. See, there's laughter sometimes in sin. And God says that ought to be turned to mourning. That should be turned to mourning, to weeping. Your joy to heaviness. And then here we see it again. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Humility. Humility. See, when we're humble like this, then we can go boldly to the throne of grace and say, God, I need your help. God, I've got this fleece here. Show me what to do. But the person that's able to go to God like that has first gone through all this. They first admitted they're wrong. They've humbled themselves. They've confessed their sin. They've submitted themselves to the will of God. That's what Gideon, this is what we see with Gideon. This is the exact picture we see happening with Gideon. And look at how God used him. See, your biggest problem, my biggest problem, go look in the mirror. There it is. Amen. There's your biggest problem. That is, our biggest problem is you. It's nobody else. It's not the world. It's not the devil. It's you. You're your biggest problem. All those things are outside temptations that you succumb to because you're your biggest problem. That's it. I mean, so stop blaming everybody else. It's you. Okay, it's not society, it's you. You want these things, you desire these things, it's you. You're the problem. When you realize that, you're way ahead of the game. Amen. I mean, you're way ahead of the game. Then you can say, all right, what happened here? Let me see how this happened. Okay, yeah, the problem is probably me then. I think the problem is me. What do I need to do, Lord? Show me what I need to do to get right. And you know what? When you're making statements like that, here's what God's saying. You're drawing nigh to Him. Because God, show me then what I need to cleanse. Show me where I'm double-minded, Lord. See, if we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, He shall lift you up. And that's exactly what we see happen with Gideon. I mean, when he humbled himself in the sight of God, God lifted him up so much to the point that the people wanted to make him king. And Gideon said, no, I'm not going to be king. That's not what God wants. Why? Because he'd received the word of God. And he said, that's not according to God's will. But God lifted him up. Why? Because he humbled himself. And that's how God works. So when we do these things, we can go boldly to the throne of grace, but it has to be in a humble spirit. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5, 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God, get this, resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. There we see Peter and James are saying the same thing. They're saying the same thing. This is what God's people need to hear. This is what needs to be understood. This is the things we need to receive. So as you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And then look at this. See, we're looking at this thing of humility with prayer. All right, because Gideon had humbled himself. He was able to go boldly to the throne of grace, and he could approach God with a serious prayer request that is like, man, are you like, man, look what he's asking for. And then the second time he asks, especially, you're like, whoa, man, I don't know that I would have asked that the second time. That's like pretty brave right there. That's pretty bold to be able to do that. But yet he was still able to do that. But look at what it says here. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Look at verse 7 now. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. See, we can take all that heavy load, everything that we're worried about, everything that's a care and a worry on our mind. God says, hey, you cast it all on me. Because I care for you. But when are you able to do that? What has to take place first? What does it say in verse 6? First two words of verse 6. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Not be stiff-necked. That means you receive the word of God. You're willing to own your sin. You will own your sin and not excuse it away. This is what has to first take place. You have to do that. If we want to have God's ear so that when we come to Him, He's going to hear us, we have to own our sin. All of it, not like a part of it, all of it. And be specific too, not just generic, like, God, I know I'm a sinner, please forgive me. What are we, Catholic? No, specific. What sin? How did you sin against God? Name it. Name it. See, part of the problem, I'm talking about in your own prayers. I'm not talking about to anybody else. I'm talking in your own prayers. Name it. If you cannot name your sin, your pride. Pride right there. If you cannot name your sin in your own prayer to God, you are full of pride. Period. There ain't no way about it. That means you think God's wrong or something. I don't even know what else that would be other than your pride just not willing to admit you're wrong. If you can't name your own sin. And obviously, we all have more than one sin, so if you can't name your sins, there is a problem. You should be able to name them to God. It's not just some generic confession. I mean, when David sinned with Bathsheba, there was a multitude of sins in that thing. The two biggest ones, though, he committed adultery and murder. And idolatry is way up at the top. That's the number one reason. But all of that, he had to confess that to God. Confession means I'm in agreement with God about my sin, about what His Word says. Really, I'm receiving His Word, and His Word condemns me. Therefore, I'm in agreement with it. He's right. That's what confession is. And David had to name those sins. It wasn't just like some generic, you know, here's my get out of jail free card, God. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. You know, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. No, it's be specific. See, this is a real relationship with God. This is what's going on here. Gideon dealt with it. What did he deal with? He dealt with specific sin. What was it? Idolatry. It wasn't some generic thing. Gideon, just stop doing this bad stuff out there. We know we're all sinners. We know you are, but you don't really ever do wrong. So just if you think about it, just don't do it. No, it had to be specific. God says, I've got a problem I got to deal with you. God convicted him about it. He said, look, get rid of this idolatry that is run your life. Destroy it, Gideon. This is going to ruin you. If you want to go forward in your walk with me, here's where we're starting right here. Get rid of your idols. And Gideon could have said, he's like, I don't have a problem with idols. As he bows to the altar of Baal, the grove that his father's made, the altar to Baal that he had in his own house. And I don't have a problem with idols. What are you talking about? Who do you think you are, God? Gideon didn't do that. See, he came boldly to the throne of grace because he admitted, he confessed his sin. He owned it. Why was he able to do that? Because he was humble. He was a humble man. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. It says, likewise, ye younger, be subject, or submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility. This means our clothing covers us. It's like a drapery over us. It's there. Humility ought to exude from us that we are willing to follow the word of God. That's what we need. That's what's necessary for us. We're to be clothed in it. It's not like, you know, I put, you know, a glove on and there's my humility, or my tie is my humility. No. It would be like my shirt, my jacket, my pants, what's completely covering me. That's what humility is to be on us. It's to clothe us, be clothed in with humility. And here's the reason why. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. If you want grace, if you want God to enable you to be able to do these things, because that's what Gideon received, grace. He was enabled by God to be able to go forward and destroy the idolatry in his home, and later go on and defeat the Midianites and the Amalekites. God enabled him to do that. He gave him grace to be able to do that. Paul was able to continue serving God because of God's grace. He said, God, take this thorn in the flesh from me. God said, no, you'll be proud if I take it from you. He said, please, God, take it from me. No, you're going to be proud of the abundance of the revelations I've given you. I've shown you so much, Paul, that I haven't shown other people. You'll be proud. I'm not taking it. He said, please, God, would you take it? I don't like this thing. This is no good. And God said, no, I'm not taking it from you. My grace is sufficient for thee. What was he saying? My grace is going to help you to do what you need to do with this thorn, and it'll keep you humble. It's going to keep you humble. Why? So that you can still have my ear. Because I resist the proud, Paul. I resist the proud, but I give grace to the humble. I'll give you more grace when you need it. You just keep serving me. You keep doing what I've asked you to do. See, again, another doer of the word of God and not a hearer only. We have got to be doers of the word of God. You say, well, what do we do? What we already know is plainly in the scriptures. I mean, there's some obvious things in there that we need to be doing. If we're not doing them, then don't come and claim that I get to go boldly to the throne of grace. No, start being a doer of the word of God. God's shown us things that we need to do. Start doing it. Start doing those things. If we're not doing them, then we can't claim this. We're still proud. Why? Because we're rejecting what God tells us to do. We're rejecting what we know he wants us to do. And we're saying, I know better than you. I'm not going to receive your word. Here's what we're doing. We're saying, uh-uh. As God's trying to lead us and guide us, we say, uh-uh, I'm not doing that. That's pride. God resists that person. But he gives grace to the humble. And that's what we need to be. And when we do that, when we humble ourselves, then we can cast all our care upon him because he cares for us. I'm going to go ahead and stop right here, and we will pick up with this next week, continuing to look at pride and humility and how it affects our prayer life, how it can hinder our prayer life. Obviously, pride, we look at that and we can see with Satan. We just read about it this morning, Isaiah chapter 14, the five I wills of Satan. You know, I will be like the Most High is ultimately the last one, and it's all pride. And pride was the entrance of sin into this world. It was pride. And that's, you know, an issue that we, each and every single one of us, has to contend with. We have to contend with our own pride. because it's always there. Why do you think God says so much to be humble, to not think this way, to submit to Him? That is a removal of pride. See, the proud person won't do what God is asking. They just will not. They're going to reject it. So we're going to continue looking at this issue and how it affects our prayer life, and how, because Gideon was no longer proud, he may have been before. I mean, we know everyone has pride, but he definitely had humbled himself at the point of Judges chapter 6, after that preacher showed up and God shows up and starts speaking to him. He'd humbled himself so that he was submitted to what God wanted. And look at the great ways that God used him, and how he was able to go to God in prayer and ask for some things, and God used him in a mighty way. And yes, even in spite of himself, as you continue to read through Judges 7 and 8, you can see he's got some deficiencies. But he was still humble, and he was still seeking God, and God used him. And again, if we think that people are going to be without deficiencies, we're fooling ourselves. Without some sin in their life, we're fooling ourselves. This is why we need to be humble, so that when the sin pops up, we will admit it, we'll receive the word of God, we'll confess our sins, and we'll continue serving God. But when we get the idea that, you know, people need to be perfect, we're absolutely fooling ourselves, that not one person in here is going to fit that. So stop expecting that of people. What we should expect of people is that there's humility and repentance, and they're willing to follow what the word of God says. That's what we should expect from anybody that wants to be a member here, that is a member. Now, those that are outside of that, yes, we should, you know, if they claim to be saved, we should expect that from them as well, because they're children of God. But, you know, as a church body, we have like zero authority over them. But those that are members here, that's where we have authority. And we should expect that of them, of any one of them, that we should be humble and willing to follow the Lord and submit ourselves to His will and to His word. So we need to just watch that pride in ourselves. Let's pray, Father.